All right, we're back. Brother Rick, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing great, brother. I like that intro you got there. That's pretty cool, man.
Thank you. I have to dust some of those off. I don't play as much as I used to.
Yeah, that's cool. I hadn't heard that one. I think that's a new one, kind of a different one. I like it.
Thank you. And it's awesome to have you back tonight. You want to open up in prayer?
Sure. Father God, thank you once again for bringing us together. Lord, I thank you that you've given us your word and that your word is true. And it is a light unto our feet. Father God, as your word goes forth tonight, I just ask you to prepare the hearts, the minds, the spirit of your people so that they can receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Rick, before you bring tonight's teaching, tell people about yourself and your ministry and how they can reach you.
Well, I am down here in the great state of Texas. Heavenlywarriors.com is my website. That's how you can reach out to me. I do a prison ministry that you might as well say is full-time. It's a weekly thing. I do online ministry, Skype, and do a blog and some other things as much as time allows, because I still have to work, you know, to generate some income. So I don't have time to just do ministry things, so I have to juggle my time. But I'm down here in near Austin, Texas. Actually, the city I'm in is Temple, Texas, which is about 45 minutes from the Austin area. And again, my website's heavenlywarriors.com, and you can find me there. You can find contact information and pretty much anything you'd want to know.
Praise the Lord. Speaking of Austin, have you ever been out to Barsana Dam Road? See that huge Hindu temple out there?
You know, I don't think I have, but I've heard someone speak of that, and it's a huge temple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big ashram. I used to work out there. Not at the temple itself, but there used to be a media company that was run by members of that ashram. And when I was living in Jacksonville, Florida some years ago, I wanted to get back into my career track, which is buying media time. And so I had I was working a temporary job. I just come out of Mexico. And I got a call one day, Brother Rick, and it was from this job that I applied for on Monster.com. And the guy said, "Hey, I represent this new media company. We buy time for infomercials," which was right up my alley. "We're down here in Austin, Texas." And he says, "I tell you, we're really an eclectic group. We've got an offer we'd like to make to you. We'd like to fly you in to interview. But before we do, we got a couple of things we want to just run by you." And I said, "Absolutely." He says, "We're located at the side of the biggest ashram, probably in America. Big Hindu temple. They have peacocks running around the ground." And he says, "We have people here that don't eat meat." Now, he says, "Do you like a good steak?" I said, "Absolutely I do." And he says, "I sure do too. But," he says, "some of these people in here don't eat beef. So if you bring anything into the office meat-wise, you might have to put it in an extra refrigerator, separate from those that are vegetarian." And I said, "This is strange. I've never had anybody ask me that." So I get out there, and lo and behold, some of the members of the organization there, they were actually members of the ashram by night, but by day they ran a multi-million dollar media advertising company. It was the strangest thing.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
So that's where they made their money, but then they would go over there, and then they would, you know, get into their mantras and all that stuff and worship their yogi down there on the ground. So I got out there, lo and behold, flew in there, and it was this huge temple. I said, "What is this? What have I gotten myself into?" And they had peacocks running around the ground. But you know what? I ended up taking the job, but it was an experience. And I worked in there until the demons ran me out.
Yeah, you can only work around those demons for so long, and then you can't. I had the same experience, interestingly enough, in the Austin area. I worked over there for a year and a half, and it was the longest year and a half of my life, because I worked in an office with a literal a witch, a psychic, and I was one cubicle over from her, and it was an interesting time. There was this constant warfare struggle every time I walked in this office. This witch, we would have these horrendous, you know, fights in the spirit realm. She would just walk by my office and look at me and kind of growl at me, literally. and snarl, and it just all, it blew up one day. I don't know what the deal was, but the demons in her would get so agitated being around me. And, you know, I'm an easygoing guy. I'd get along with everybody. It's kind of just how my personality is, but she would get so agitated. And so the owner of the company just sat her down one day and said, "What is wrong with you?" She was just going off, and, you know, she would get so agitated at me, and I wouldn't say anything to her. I would just be doing my own thing, but she'd get so agitated, she would take it out on the other workers in there, and finally they fired her. But it was an experience. So I understand what you're talking about. You worked there until the demons finally ran you off. That was the hardest job I've ever had in my life. It was emotionally, just absolutely spiritually draining, being in a fight every day when you go in the thing, you know. And when the witch was gone, the psychic was gone, I probably stayed just a few more months, and I couldn't stand it because the owner of the business was completely, totally into New Age and her chakra and her karma and all of this, and she was trying to bring portals into her living room so she could step in and out of the dimensions as she wanted to. It was a crazy thing, man. So that was back when I was still chasing the dollar, you know, still doing my corporate thing and just basically selling out, doing whatever I had to do to be in the big bucks. And that was what it was taking. So finally one day I said, okay, I don't know how long, much longer I can do this. So the Lord worked it out where the company basically shut down, went through a huge downsize and allowed me to get out of it. So, but I understand, man. And Austin's a hotbed for that stuff. When they say it's an eclectic area, that's the correct word. It's very eclectic. Demonic's another word for it.
It sure was. It was an experience. Yeah. You reminded me of that. When you mentioned where you're from in Texas, I'm thinking, yeah, I remember Texas. Mm-hmm. Folks, welcome tonight. We're live with Pastor Rick Bell, heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, the mic is yours. Take it away.
Well, it's going to be an interesting show tonight. I have something special for the listeners. But first, I want to talk about what we witnessed this past Friday night with the attack in Paris, with the everyone, I'm sure, knows about that by now, unless you're literally living in a cave somewhere. And even if that's the case, if you're listening to Omega Man, you've got radio, so you're able to hear things. There was an attack, several attacks actually, choreographed, and they were absolutely demonically choreographed, carnage and mayhem in Paris. And if you'll remember, we've been saying for some time now that, and you can go back and listen to the archive shows, my thing that I've been on is it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You're going to see it day by day, week by week, month by month, escalate. The violence is going to escalate. The carnage, the death, the mayhem, all of those things who are going to continue until they're just literally off the chart. It's going to be like nothing you've ever seen. And we discussed, why was this? And I believe the Lord clearly showed me, because we were, this country had turned a corner, and we had begun to celebrate, not only embrace wickedness, but celebrate it in many things. And because of that, every time Satan is celebrated in this country, every time another rainbow flag is flown or whatever, in whatever way we are sinning against the Lord and honoring Satan, more power, more demonic power comes into this realm. And you look at these jihadists, these Islamic jihadists. What in the world would cause a 22-year-old young man who's basically intelligent? These young men are not, ignorant, semi-retarded individuals. They're basically intelligent. Some of them are college educated. The leaders, I understand, of ISIS are basically engineers, attorneys, doctors, professional people, because they're the ones calling the shots. So you must ask yourself, what would possess a young man to want to become part of this? Shannon, have you thought about that? What in the world? So they think they're going to have 72 virgins when they die and whatever else is promised to them. I don't know of any 22-year-olds that I could promise that they're going to have heaven and paradise and going to be with Jesus forever. That doesn't make them want to, you know, even come to church, much less lay down their life, strap on a vest that's going to blow them to kingdom come or to hell, and walk in amongst people. You know, you have to think, what is driving this? Can you see the demonic component behind? This is not natural. Nothing about this is natural. This is demonic power that's driving this thing. And you saw some of this in World War II, toward the end of the war, the United States versus Japan, the war in the Pacific. Japan was desperate because they were running out of resources. The blockades were working, and the United States, the Allies, were winning the war. So the Japanese became desperate, and they put in place something called a kamikaze, the silent wind. And that was suicide pilots. They would get in a plane on a one-way trip, and they would have a funeral before they left and go and fly these planes into ships. Now, the difference in the kamikaze of World War II and these modern-day jihadists is the kamikaze pilots, by and large, did not want to do this. They were not happy about getting in the plane, saying goodbye to their family, and killing themselves. There may have been some who, you know, were into it or, you know, had some sort of a mental illness towards that, towards suicide. But by and large, and you can study this out, you can read the writings of the kamikaze, the young pilots. They didn't want to die. They felt honor-bound by their family that if they didn't do this, they would disgrace their family. And you should read some of the letters that these young men wrote home, their last letters. They didn't want to do this, but they did. And the difference with these jihadists is they can't wait to do it. They're excited about the opportunity to go and sacrifice themselves, blow themselves up. There's never been anything like this. We've never seen anything. And it makes me think about the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over the fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth." Verse 9, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed." So anybody sitting around waiting to be, you know, zapped out of here on some kind of a pre-tribulation rapture, I don't think it's going to happen because of, if nothing else, just this verse here. Said, "Until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed." So we're heading into some stuff. We're watching that pale horse, whose name is Death, begin his ride. And you're seeing it with the type of carnage that we just spoke about. Demonically inspired. Nothing humanly possible could make a young 22, 23-year-old man who has his whole life ahead of him, who's in... Now, think about the average 22-year-old who's going over and training with ISIS. They're coming from middle class to upper middle class families. They're playing Nintendo. They're just the average kids at high school that they may be a little bit on the antisocial side or maybe not. But something is hooking them to a point where they're willing to give up everything, including their life. I don't know of any other, I certainly don't know of any Christian religion where young people are being drawn in that fashion to it. So there's a supernatural component to all of this, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. Oh, I guess it was probably a year ago now. I got a phone call from a lady named Mina Lee Greben. Now, I had heard Mina Lee on the Rick Wiles program. He has a daily radio show, and many of you are familiar with him. And Mina Lee Greben was brought to his attention by, I believe, Jonathan Kahn or Jim Baker, one of the people in those circles. And he interviewed her, and I heard her for the first time there. And I thought, wow, this is great stuff. So I took a snippet of whatever the interview, I don't know, a little 4 or 5 minute piece, and I put it on my website because I said, people need to hear this. This woman's speaking under an anointing. You could just tell that. Didn't think much about it. Put it out there. My phone rings about a week later. It's a Sunday afternoon. Never forget it. Don't recognize the area code, but it, you know, I felt like it was a ministry call coming in. And most of the time I'll let the call, you know, go on to voicemail. Then I'll call them back when I have time to deal with them, because it this particular time the phone rang, I was at my storage building. You know, everyone has a storage building where your stuff is, where you pay, you know, $100 a month to keep your garbage in this storage locker that you're never going to use the stuff. And so I'm at my storage unit, phone rings, and for some reason the Holy Spirit said, answer it. And I did. Young lady says, is this Rick Bell? I said, yes, it is. She said, well, you don't know me, but you know of me. My name is Mina Lee Greben, and the Holy Spirit told me to call you. She said, let me start out by saying I don't typically call people, you know, very often. I return calls when they call me, but I don't just reach out and call people, certainly people I don't know. But the Holy Spirit, you know, wanted me to call you, so I called you. And you've called me back, so apparently the Holy Spirit's trying to get us in a connection of some sort. So we began to speak that Sunday afternoon, and I think we were on the phone for just about 3 hours. She's prophetic, and the Holy Spirit had given her some things, and it just so coincided that he had given me basically the same types of words he'd given her, the same prophecies he'd spoken to me earlier. And so we're sharing this stuff, and it's blowing my mind. I'm saying, are you kidding me? He gave you that also? So she comes from a prophetic family. Her mother's prophetic, her father, they were in the ministry. And we had this conversation, and one thing kind of led to another, and we spoke, and she said, well, I would like to at some point, you know, I know you do interviews and things. She said, I would like to get some of the things that the Lord's shown you and recorded. I said, well, I'll tell you what, let me do an interview with you, and you share what the Lord is showing you. So she called yesterday. She said, I'm ready to do that interview. The Lord's given me something. So I recorded her this morning in the studio, and I'm going to play that recording because it has everything to do with these end times that we're in, the things we're witnessing right now. So I want the listeners to listen. This is Mina Lee Greben, and this is an interview I did with her today, but this will be very timely and very powerful. I think you'll get a lot out of this. Let me get it fired up for you.
Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
Well, I'd like to welcome all of the listeners today. HeavenlyWarriors.com have a very special guest on the line with me, and this is a person I've come to know and work with and respect quite a bit, and it's Mina Lee Greven, and she is a prophetic voice in the world today of quite a bit of notoriety. In fact, I know that she's referred to by some of the largest ministries in operation today. They count on what she says. So, Mina, how are you today, my dear?
Doing good, Rick. Thanks for bringing me on your show today.
Well, it's my honor and my pleasure. We were speaking briefly off air yesterday about some of the things that God has been showing us, showing you, and how the world is, it basically seems to me, Mina, to be on an absolute fast track off of a cliff. And it seems like we're on this train that's on these tracks going off the cliff, and the conductor and his staff of railroadmen have gone completely insane. They're either the most incompetent, this is either the most incompetent leadership in the history of America, or there's an evil, diabolical plan afoot here. And the Lord spoke something very, very profound and intriguing to you about the man who was going to be president from Chicago. Can you just pick up the story there and tell our listeners about what the Lord spoke to you? And you were young at the time, a young girl, weren't you?
Yes, the Lord actually, and I did talk about this on my Rick Ralph program earlier this year. The Lord gave me a dream in 1986 that about a president who would be from Chicago, the area that I lived in, which was the South Side. I grew up in the Hyde Park area near the lakefront. And actually, real quick, the dream was basically that I saw a stack of newspapers at one point that were flying down the street, and they were flyers, and they had a picture of three sets of people. The first set of flyers had pictures of George Washington. The second set of flyers had pictures of Abraham Lincoln. And the third set of flyers was pictures of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they were flying through the wind, and they were ripping up down the street, and I was trying to catch them and was not able to catch them. And then next to the flyers that were on these wire stands was actual newspaper stand. You know, I don't even know if they have those anymore. But you know how you used to get the Sunday paper for 50 cents, 75 cents, or what have you. And it was one of those type of stands. And it was a newspaper, and the headline read that America's freedom was over, and there was a silhouette of someone that I didn't know, but I knew he was the president, and I knew he was from the area. And this was in 1986. The significant thing, even since I was with Rick Wiles back in May talking about this dream, I never forgot that dream. That is one of the most vivid dreams that I had. And God never allowed me to forget that dream. And at the time, almost 30 years ago, when I told my mother the dream, I said, but Mom, why Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and Dr. Martin Luther King? And my mother didn't really know at that time. And we nobody knew. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago that the Lord brought the dream back to my remembrance. I had never forgotten it, but I was actually in prayer. And the Lord brought it back to me, and I said, yes, Lord, of course I remember that dream. And then the Lord began to open up to me what I had seen. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that I got the full revelation that what I was seeing at that time, almost 30 years ago, 29 years ago, was what was currently transpiring in America, that this was the president that I saw, and that the reason I saw George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Martin Luther King is because each one represented an era of freedom for America. George Washington, of course, Declaration of Independence, 1776. We have Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, the North versus the South, and the slaves are free, and slavery is abolished. Then we have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Civil Rights Movement that took place in the 60s until he was killed, I think in 69 or 68. All of those eras representing a big era of American or freedom in America, and it was being ripped up and demolished. And I always believe in this president that we're currently dealing with. He has been strategically planted. I absolutely believe. In fact, I take it deeper. I actually believe that the year that the Lord gave me the dream is the year that he was picked. Because I know this man was picked in the 80s, and he was picked by the elite. And way back then, because he was very radical in the 70s and into the 80s, if you know anything about his history.
Yes,
and I actually believe, I would not be surprised if 1986 was the year that they picked him. And that's why the Lord gave me that dream.
Very well could be. That very well could be. So this man from Chicago, because for the listeners who don't know, Barack Obama calls Chicago his home, which of course we have grave doubts about that in truth. But Mina says that she realized that this president would be from Chicago. And was there something said to you about this being the last president we would have, or how it would the country would be radically changed after this president? Is that something that the Lord showed you?
That was actually something that I prophesied in 2004. I was living in Houston, Texas at the time, and it was the last apartment that I lived in before I bought my house. And it was the summer of 2004, and George W. was running for his second term. And there was a young man who was going through my apartment complex with a clipboard to get the African Americans to sign a petition to get Bush impeached, thrown out of office. And I thought at the time it was very hysterical, because we lived in Texas and they named schools and streets and airports after him, especially in Houston.
Right.
And so I thought it was hilarious. And I kind of, you know, I messed with this guy a little bit when he was telling me what he was trying to do. And I looked at him and I looked around and I was like, do you not realize where you live in? We live in Texas. It's not going to happen here. But I began talking to this man, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to sign your petition. And I said, Bush is going to win a second term. And he was really upset that I would say that and claim it. And I said, but he's not the one you need to worry about. And he looked at me and he said, lady, what are you talking about? I said, Bush is not the one we need to worry about. It's the president that comes after him. And I said, because the president that comes after him will be the president that will lead this country into the tribulation. And he had a cigarette behind his ear. He took his cigarette from behind his ear to light it. He looked at me and he said, lady, what are you talking about? Are you some kind of psychic? Who's going to be the next president? He didn't know what was going on. And I told him at the time, I didn't know. I said, I have no idea who the next president's going to be. It could be Mickey Mouse, and I did say Mickey Mouse. I said, but whoever this person is, that's the person we need to worry about. That was the summer of 2004. In April of 2008, I was living in the Carolinas at the time. I just recently moved to Carolinas to start ministry. That was within my first year of ministry. During the time of the Democratic primaries, and at the time Obama and Hillary were running neck and neck, to see who was going to be the one who would be the selection. And my mother and I were talking on the phone, and she believed that Hillary was going to win. And she had her opinions as to, you know, her list of why she believed she would win. And I just didn't know. I was just listening to the conversation. I was like, Mom, you think she's going to win? She's like, oh, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that night I had a dream. And in the dream, I was driving in a car, and my mother's car, and I was on the phone. And the person was asking me on the phone, what did I feel about Barack Obama winning the presidency? And I saw that he had won. It was like there were all these flashes in front of me. And I saw all around the world, people were cheering him on. And I saw specifically the Middle East. I saw a lot of Islamic, the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda. Their faces were wrapped. They had the guns and all of this. They were watching like old fashioned television, and there was like the Arabic translation, the ticker tape, almost like at the bottom of the screen. And all around the world, they were saying that this man had won, and everybody was cheering. And then when I was talking to the person on the phone, and they asked me what was my opinion, I said, I began quoting Revelation chapter 6, the third seal. And I began quoting that the third seal was open and of a red horse, not a third seal, that was the second seal. The second seal was the red horse. The third seal was the black horse. So the third seal was the second seal was the red horse. I'm getting all tongue twisted. And I began quoting how he was given power to take peace from the earth. So I began quoting that scripture. So does it mean that, you know, Obama's the second seal? Does that mean we're in the tribulation? I mean, that wasn't the point of me seeing that. The point of it was the symbolic comparison.
Yes.
And I believe to this day that this man has lived that scripture down, because he, all that he has done in the last, what, this is like his sixth year now or seventh year?
Yeah, it's all a lie. It's all been a lie.
He has taken what little piece was left. He stripped it. Not just here in this country. He has stripped it in Egypt. He stripped it in Libya. He's still attempting to strip it in Syria. He'll probably accomplish that. In Yemen, in Tunisia, I mean, he's an instigator, and he's a demolition man. And this is exactly what this man has done the last 7 years.
You were so exactly right on. In 2012, Barack Obama was running for re-election, and he was running against Mitt Romney, and it looked really good for Mitt Romney. This was 6 months before the election, and he was trending high, and I think he'd just done well in a debate, and Obama had done poorly. And I was feeling pretty good about this, because like so many other Christians, I was praying, God, we must get this man out of here, because he was demonstrating wickedness. His policies were wicked. There was deceit from the top to the bottom, and I was saying, God, we've got to have a turn. The Lord spoke to me in 2012, 6 months before the election, and said, Obama will be reelected. And I didn't want to hear that. I thought, oh, no, please, Lord. And I prayed and prayed. But as election day came and he was reelected, the Lord spoke to me because there was such a depression among God's people after that. People were so depressed when he won. And the Lord spoke to me and said, he will reveal who he really is. In this term, this four-year term, we're in the middle of it. And this was interesting. He said that the people will, quote-unquote, turn on him. He said the people will see who he is, and the media who has championed him will turn on him because he will not be honest with them, and it will cause them to stop supporting him and who he does. And you've literally watched that. You could see in a press conference yesterday when he stood up to talk about the Paris attacks, how frustrated even these NBC and ABC analysts and reporters who have basically been his cheerleaders all this time, they're frustrated because of the level of deceit. And it's nothing but lies, lies and lies pouring out of this man over national television. So what is the Lord showing you specifically about where we are going from here, Mina? That's what I want to get into today. What has he shown you?
A couple of weeks ago, the Lord began visiting me. He had been very quiet since June. The last thing he had showed me was that they were going to pass the law for legalizing gay marriage. He showed it to me 2 weeks before they did it. And he did show me the specific date that they would do it. It was a day that I was coming to do my conference in Arlington, which is, you know, you were there.
Yes.
At that conference. And I put a video out about it 6 days prior to me boarding my plane to come to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then, of course, on the day that I was boarding the plane is the day that they actually passed at the Supreme Court. So that was that was accurate all the way down to the day that the Lord had given me. And then he had been quiet, and I didn't think anything of it because I was very busy with conferences and doing the will of the Father and so on and so forth. But about 2 weeks ago, the Lord came to me the first night. He came to me five nights in a row and began showing me things in five parts. And actually, I haven't even put this out yet. You're the first person to hear this because I haven't even put this out on my YouTube page. I've been very busy. So, but the first night, the Lord woke me out of my sleep at 3:30 in the morning in an audible voice. It startled me out of my sleep. And he said, the day of reckoning is at hand.
Oh, Jesus.
And it woke me up out of my sleep. It was 3:30 in the morning. And it shook me out of my sleep that I was discombobulated and tried to get my flesh in line with my spirit because my flesh wanted to be shaken. But the presence of God inside of me, the Holy Spirit inside of me, was welling up and taking over to calm my flesh down, if that makes any sense
at all.
But that's the best way I can explain what I went through coming out of my sleep.
Yes.
And then I said, the day of reckoning. So I repeat this, you know, this is a conversation I had with the Lord. And he says, yes, the day of reckoning for America is at hand. And I asked the Lord, why was he telling me this? And he said, because I want you to warn the American people. He says, it's just like your name. And he says, my name. And I says, my name. And I'm repeating back. And I'm like, what does my name have to do with this? Well, Mina is actually Aramaic, which is ancient Hebrew. And it means to reckon.
Mm.
And it literally means that it's M-E-N-A-H. The H is the breath of life being added to it. Mine is just M-E-N-A. But it's actually mentioned several times in the Old Testament. It's not a name, it's not a noun, but it means to reckon.
Amen.
And he says to me, just like your name, he says, and you are to warn America and let them know that the day of reckoning is at hand. The second thing the Lord tells me, the Spirit of the Lord lights up my entire room. And he speaks to me and he says that the rapture was very close. Now that was the sentence he said. And the only thing that I can explain to you, and I've tried to explain to several people that I've shared it with off record, is that he allowed me to feel how close the rapture is. That's the best way I can explain it to you. There wasn't a timetable that he showed me. He allowed my spirit to feel how close it was. And it was incredibly close. Like, that's all I can tell you. It doesn't matter if you're a pre-trib believer, mid-trib believer. Right. We need to understand that the rapture of the bride is close.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very close. Then the Lord, next thing I know, I was standing in a median between northbound and southbound traffic on a bright, clear day in somebody's city. There was nothing. There were no particular infrastructures that let me know that it was a specific city. And I was standing in this median, and in front of me was an overpass. There was rush hour traffic going northbound to my left, southbound to my right, and then there was traffic going over the overpass in front of me.
Right.
And next thing I know, I hear this horrible sound, this horrible rumbling sound, and it was coming from behind me, and I turned around and looked up because I knew it was over my head. So I turned around and looked up in the sky, and I saw three long-range missiles, and they were going right over my head. They were far, far up in the sky, and they went over my head, and they went way, way off. In fact, they were so far off, I don't think that the place that I was standing in or the city that I was in was even impacted. Like, I don't think they hit inside of the city, but yet I was able to see them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, sure.
It wasn't until after that, like within, I don't know, a minute or so, minute and a half, that I saw all of these fighter jets F-16s and I mean, from the Air Force, they were like going the same direction, almost like chasing these missiles. And then now the fighter jets and the military jets, they were hovering very low. One of them hovered so low that it looked like they were going to actually like hit the overpass or scrape the overpass. But it wasn't until all of these fighter jets came into the picture that the people that were driving on the intersection stopped. The cars began to stop. People began to freak out, and they're like, what is happening? What's going on? So people were getting out their cars, and they were looking up in the air, and they were like, what's happening? What's going on? And I just spoke to everybody that was all around me, and I said, the war has begun.
Jesus. And this
prior
was,
to that, another, I'm sorry, go on.
And this was a dream you were having now?
Yes, these are five parts that this is five parts that the Lord took me into.
Yes.
Another part, he showed me maps of Israel and the map of Iran. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, I want you to pray and I want you to intercede. Now, here's the shocking part. Now, I'm an advocate for Israel. I stand for Israel. I have Jewish blood in my family, tribe of Levi. And I am a huge advocate for Israel. But the interesting thing the Lord told me when he said, I want you to pray, my gut instinct, I mean, instant instinct is, okay, he wants me to pray for Israel. That was not the case. He said, I want you to pray for the underground church in Iran. Now, a lot of people don't know that statistically the fastest growing church in the world is the underground church in Iran. There's something like 6 million Persians have come to Christ, but it's underground. The Lord told me, I want you to begin to pray for them. And I said, Lord, pray for the churches in Iran. He says, Israel is going in to bomb Iran. He says, and I want you to pray my supernatural protection over my children that are living there. And so I began to pray and I began to intercede. And then I began to intercede for Netanyahu, who the Lord had given me multiple dreams about him. I began to talk about it on Rick Wiles, but he invited me back in October 13th, to do a second show with him. But I was not able to talk about it. But the Lord in October had given me four dreams where I met with Netanyahu, and he was telling me to pray for him, and he was letting me know that he was going into Iran. And I told him that the Lord would be with him, that God had chosen him to deal with the situation. Just backing up a little bit, the day of the Knesset on March 17th of this year, prior to that, I had did a video in February where I said that I didn't think Netanyahu was going to win again, because I believe that the people were not going to allow him to come in, and I felt that it was a time of preparation for the Antichrist, for even the Psalm 83 war, and I didn't see him winning. After I did that video, or talked about that in that video in February, in March, I was praying, and I was praying for him, and I was saying, Lord, I just don't see him winning. And I was on my knees in my bedroom, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if he does not win, who will deal with Persia? And he said it so clearly to me. Then the Lord instantly took me into the spirit, and I saw where I was in a laboratory where they were producing nuclear warheads in Iran. And I had to tell Netanyahu, and I'm beating this up and giving a short version. Sure. And he came, and I showed him everything. And then he thanked me left, and far off I could see where he was bombing the areas that were producing the nuclear warhead. I came out of that, and I put a video out the day of the Knesset before they had tallied the votes. And I said, I believe the Lord is telling me. I told him the dream. I said, the Lord's correcting me and showing me that Netanyahu is going to win. And that night, of course, of the Knesset, he had won. So he has been chosen. And I'm not the only one the Lord has told this to, but he has been chosen to bring Israel. I don't know to what point.
Right.
The interesting thing is that the dream that I had in October that I didn't get a chance to talk about on Rick Wiles' show is that I told Netanyahu that Israel would be his until the abomination of desolation. That's what I told him in the dream. So I don't know, but I know. So the Lord told me that the war was coming to Israel. He told me that it was coming, that we needed to pray. I believe, Rick, on the whole scale, that we really, I'll even tell you something. I was just discussing this today with my husband. He made a statement that I thought was very profound, and I'm going to share it with you. Just, we were sitting having brunch, and he said to me, he says, really, we are already at war with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just using other names. Because this situation in Syria, this situation with ISIS, the Obama administration is funding and has been funding ISIS. This, I put a video out in 2013 when that whole Syria conflict rose up. And I said then, I said, we have underestimated Russia and we are playing a dangerous game.
Exactly,
I said
right.
It then. And see, Putin in 2013, Putin uncovered the fact that we were really arming the enemy, okay? And here's the only thing I can tell you from all of my inside connections and things in the government is that we have funded ISIS. We have helped ISIS to grow. We have.
Yes,
and
yeah,
Putin called that out.
Yes, he did.
Putin called that out in 2013, and that's why he was not going to turn Assad in. So here we are in 2015, going into 2016, almost 3 years later, 2.5 years later, and we know that Russia has armed, has lined up with Iran, and they have put troops on the ground, they have armed the Syrians out there with missiles and tanks and armory, and then we're on the other side. Syria is the pawn on the chess game. We are really at war with Russia right now. But when you start looking at the key players, if you pull out a map, and unfortunately, too many Americans today do not know geography.
Right.
Geography died, I think, after I got out of school, because I'm still young. I'm still a part of Generation X, but I know that my children, which is Generation Y, they don't teach them geography.
Right, right.
But if you pull out a map and you look at who's backing who and what right now, just right now, what's going on with Syria, what's going on with Israel, what's going on with us, what's going on with Egypt, what's going on with Russia, what's going on in all of these countries right now. And if you open up Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you will find that that map matches what we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah, it
and
does.
It specifically names those nations, with an exception of Persia is Iran, but Libya is named, Egypt is named. I mean, these countries are named. Israel is named. These countries are named. And so I believe that that whatever's going to transpire with Israel is going to transpire. I do believe Netanyahu is going to go in and take out Iran. I believe they're probably going to go into Damascus, and that would be the fulfillment of Isaiah 17's prophecy. But on the back end, the invasion coming here, I absolutely believe is going to be Russia. I will tell you another snippet that was inside information that was given to me by a sister in Christ. Who has family military. She let me know about a week and a half ago, a relative-in-law who's in the military got a new job shipping armory to all the branches of the military. Okay, their only thing I can tell you is that they're on the West Coast. And he reported back to his wife, who reported to her cousin, who is my sister in Christ, that they are deploying different parts, their soldiers in different parts of the military secretly on the West Coast. And when I say out West, all in the Pacific, all in places like Hawaii, Guam, you know, these different places, because of the threat from Russia. And there's even talk of a possible draft going on. This is how dangerous the threat from Russia has come. And we've heard tidbits about it. We've had all kinds of issues the last couple of years with intercepting jets them flying into their airspace just a month and a half ago. A Russian submarine was spotted off the coast of Georgia, of all places. I mean, that's right in our territory.
Yes.
They've opened up, the Obama has opened up the gates again regarding Cuba, who is absolutely still communist. And we had the Cuban missile crisis. That's what shut the whole thing down. And that's just, I mean, insane. And that's, they're going to work with Russia because Cuba worked with Hugo Chavez from Venezuela, who worked with Iran, who worked with Russia, and they all hate the United States.
Absolutely. Cuba's
and
communist.
So, I mean, yes, absolutely. And so, all in a nutshell, this president is setting us up to be invaded.
Oh, wow.
The end.
Well, I completely concur with you and agree that there is much more behind this, and unfortunately we're out of time for this segment. But boy, you've said a lot, and it's things that people need to take and meditate on and just get inside their spirit. The Lord says he doesn't do anything unless he first reveals it through his prophets. So we're going to just end this, and thank you, Mina, for this segment that you spent time with us, and we'd like to say God bless you. And if someone would like to get in touch with your ministry, is there a website or some contact information you have that you would like to give?
All of our contact information is on www.faithfulwalkhealingministry.com.
That's www.faithfulwalkhealingministry.com. So if you'd like to find out more about Mina Lee Greben, and she does do conferences around the United States, so you could speak with her about that if you were interested. Mina, I want to say God bless you, and thank you so much for the work you're doing, and keep on doing it.
Thank you.
Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it, Shannon?
Rick, that was one powerful interview, man. I'm honored that you would play that tonight. That is pretty awesome. Folks, that's new information. And I tell you, just it confirms what the prophets have been saying, Rick, that invasion is coming to America.
Absolutely. It does.
I know people don't want to hear it, but God always sends a warning before he brings judgment. He's been bringing a warning to this land for over 30 years. Dimitri Dudeman was shown it was coming. His grandson, Michael Bolday, is still giving the warning. Henry Groover, Dr. Jonathan Hance, who was on the program a few weeks ago, David Wilkerson saw it, and this woman of God, Rick, she was shown by the Lord that Obama was going to be put in office back in 86. Now,
yeah, she was a 7 or 8 year old girl when he showed her that.
Amazing, man.
Yeah, it's amazing, and let me just to put it in perspective. And I can't say too much about this, but let me just say that she's no flake. Her husband, and I can't say, let's just say he works in a very secretive area of the United States government, and I can't say it on the air, but they're connected. They know things. So when she was a young girl, the Lord spoke to her and said that the president would come from Chicago, and he would be the president who would destroy America, basically, the America that we knew. This president would break it down and, as she said, destroy the peace. He would bring in strife and discord, and basically change the country forever, fundamentally change the country. And she got that word when she was just a child. Now, she, again, was in a prophetic family. Her mother was a prophetic minister, and her father was a minister also. So she's grown up with this. But the Lord is speaking to her in the clarity of what she says. You know, the absolute detail is something that really perks your spirit up, and you hear that, and your spirit bears witness with it. And you know, like I said, the Lord just put me on her heart to call, and we began to talk. And again, that first conversation I had with Mina was 3 hours, because the Lord had been, you know, you don't choose for the Lord to start showing you things. I had always prayed, my standard prayer every day for 25 years, you know, was, Lord, open my eyes, show me things, speak to me, Lord. You know, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I was one of the young men. I was wanting to see visions. Now I think I'm going to have to accept the latter. I'm going to say, send me some dreams, Lord. So the Lord just started showing me things. And when you get to a point in your life, when you're, I'll say, unencumbered, for lack of a better word, when the Lord has stripped enough things away from you so he can get your attention like he got mine, then He can start using you prophetically if you're willing to step out on that. And you get little prophetic words. The Bible says your senses are exercised by reason of use. In other words, you use what he gives you and you get a little bit more of that. It's like going to the gym. You know, you go to the gym the first day you go, you lift a little bit of weight and you feel like you're going to die 2 days later. It's the second day after, you know, it's the worst. But you keep going back, and by reason of use, your muscles get a little stronger and stronger. So 6 months into it, if you stay with it, you're three times as strong as you were that first day, and you can lift the weight. It's the same thing with the prophetic. You start to get...
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Are we going to lose it?
We're still live on Mixer. We've got about 5 minutes left. Keep going.
Okay, buddy. Yeah. So it's the same thing with the prophetic. He will start giving you little words, and you'll give those to your friends, the people closest to you. You'll say, you know, the Lord showed me this. And you'll see when it comes to pass, that starts building your faith in your ability to hear from him. So that's how it works. He'll give you little things, and when you're faithful in the small things, he'll give you the bigger things. So he started giving me a lot of things about the nation and about Obama and about the economy and specific things about demonic strongholds. And they've proven to be correct. And so Mina is the same way. God gives her these things, and she documents them way before anything happens. And then when it does happen, she had it on video to go back and, you know, prove that she wasn't just making that stuff up. So there are many voices around the world right now that the Lord is raising up to try to wake people up, Shannon. And if this isn't a wake-up call, I don't know what is, brother. Giving it back to you.
Brother Rick, has God shown you who the next president may be?
Yeah, he has. And I'll say it right here. He showed me it was going to be Hillary Clinton. And he showed me that back in 2013, I believe it was. It was 12 or 13. I don't remember exactly. I didn't write it down, but I knew it was a shocking revelation. But he said, Hillary Clinton will be the next president. All of these little scandals and all of this Benghazi gate and the emails and all that, forget about it. Nothing's going to touch her. Nothing's going to stick to her. It may look like it's going to be the end of her campaign, but the fix is in, unless God intervenes and does something, and he's God, whatever he wants to do. But Hillary's is headed for the White House, and when she takes it, the Queen Jezebel will have taken over the United States of America. This is the setup for that. That's the setup for the coup de grace, if you will. That's going to be the mother of all harlots, of everything that you can imagine. The abominations will all come, abomination, what a play on words. They will all come together and meld into one in that. So that's what
the Lord's that she seems to be smugly confident of something. And, you know, just like they chose Obama years ago, decades ago, I believe that a deal was made. She was not happy that she didn't beat Obama the last time, but I believe a deal was made. Obama's going to take it, and she's going to get the next one.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, God allows what he wants according to what we deserve here in this country, the wickedness that we've been doing for years. You know, we've murdered more babies than the total body count in World War I and World War II.
My God, amen.
You know, I'm talking millions, folks. Yeah. The greatest slaughter of all time has happened right here in America. Murdering the children every day. But you know what? If we don't repent, that's what we get. And it looks like we're going to get the woman who rides the beast.
Yeah.
Brother, that just makes me want to vomit. Because Obama's bad enough. This girl is going to be 1,000 times worse.
Yeah, Obama's just the opening act. He's just the setup for the main attraction. And as bad as you think it is now, just wait until Queen Jezebel takes the White House and all of these things that are happening, this chaos, this global chaos, continues to escalate. It's going to be bad's not the right word. There's a word that's not even in the dictionary, and I don't know what it is, but it's going to be catastrophic. You can see it coming. You can feel it in your spirit coming.
She's going to preside over the arrest of American Christians. And when the invasion comes, she's going to just go ahead and, what's the word where you just, you're playing chess, you know it's over, you just go ahead and
checkmate. Yeah, checkmate, done.
She's going to concede to the invading armies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prophecy is, folks, you can go read it over at handofhelp.com, Prophecy for America the Lord gave back to Demetri in 84. I think it was about 84. He said there's going to be civil war in this country. While the government is trying to quell that, the Russians, who know where our nuclear stockpile are, they're going to ignite those. It's going to detonate them. It's going to take out all of California. Vegas is toast. All of Florida is gone. New York is gone. And then from the border, while Russia's doing that, Red Dawn invasion, Mexico, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Central America, they're going to invade. And two other countries Dimitri couldn't remember at the time are going to come in. We've got the EMP that they drop. It sends us back to the Stone Age, and America is out of the game. And I always wondered, why were we not there to protect Israel in the last days? I figured either we were taken out or we had joined the rest that were fighting against them. And I believed we were going to be taken out. And it's there in the Word, Jeremiah 51, Revelation 18, Zechariah over there talks about it. He gives the verses because he said, God, I'm not going to tell the people this unless you show me where in the Word it talks about the destruction of America. And the angel of the Lord gave him the verses. Go read it. And it's sad because what has happened before is going to happen again. Before it was ancient Israel, it turned its back on God. God sent Nebuchadnezzar's armies to lay siege. And they killed the people, and the rest they took into captivity. This a country is toast. It's just a matter of time. And, brother, it's sad to be alive to see it. I know we're out of time, but I want to thank you for bringing that on. That was a powerful interview. Keep doing those, Rick. You got some inside information right there.
I will keep doing that.
How can a person contact you in your ministry and get behind? Now, folks, I'm not advocating we quit. We got a job to do. Rick is fighting. We're fighting here. You got to fight. We got to fight the devil. We got to continue to occupy while we can. But look, this country's going down. All the more reason we need to get busy doing what the Lord commands us to do. Now, he will protect his people. That was his promise. He can protect you through the fire or promote you, take you right on up to be with him. But Rick, it's just a sad day, man. Let me give it back to you. How can a person contact you and support your ministry?
Well, my website is heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLYWARRIORS.com. And there's a PayPal link right on the very front page there. And anything that's donated is greatly appreciated. It helps with the ministry because, as you know, I have to work also to keep the things funded to keep moving and doing these things. You can email me at rick@heavenlywarriors.com. R-I-C-K, rick@heavenlywarriors.com, and send the email, and I will respond to you. I get behind on that stuff. You guys have to bear with me because there's a lot of balls I have to juggle. Shannon understands what I'm talking about to keep it all in motion. But that's how to reach out and get a hold of me, and I love to hear from you. You guys, encouraging words when you hear these shows, if they bless you, if they touch you. It really blesses me when you reach out. I got a wonderful email last week from a gentleman after the show that was talking about how something I'd said really opened up some understanding for him and why he was had suffered through some of the things he had as an adult because he came through that critical spirit thing when he was a child and just lived in a critical environment. So I greatly appreciate when you guys reach out to me. And God bless all of you. And until next week, stay safe and may God watch over you and keep you on the path you're supposed to be on. Shannon.
Love and appreciate you, my brother. When I hear reports like this, it's all I can do to contain myself from going back to my old self, which was get an AK-47 and go into Mad Max mode, ready to fight the Civil War.
I know.
I was literally at that point.
Yeah, don't fall into it. You know, that's just a trap. You just have to stay grounded. That AK wouldn't do you any good anyway with what's coming. So, the only power you're going to have is that sword that you're holding in that artwork on the front of Omega Man. That's how you need to be prepared. Forget the AK. Just grab that sword and that shield, and you got the right stuff there, brother.
It's the truth, folks. If the angel of the Lord encamps around you, you're going to be all right.
Amen.
We put our faith and trust in the Lord, because your heart can fail you for the fear of what's coming.
Amen.
And I was fearful. And I'll tell you, when I would get reports, it would just make me angry. And I would say, not on my watch. But you know what? We've been called to a higher purpose, folks. We've got a job to do, which is a salvage mission. I like what she said. Obama, a.k.a. the demolisher, that really fits him well. That's what he's been doing. But, folks, our job is salvaging. We've got to win the lost. They're going to hell. Tonight, we've got to cast out devils before the devils kill the people. And we've got to lay hands on the sick that they recover before people are killed prematurely. We've got a job to do. And if you're angry, like I'm angry right now, at what's going on here in this country and around the world with the New World Order, then let's get militant, working on the side of Jesus.
Amen.
Soldiers, because the truth will set people free. And if you're tired of the New World Order, then begin to get into spiritual warfare and fight back, because that's where it's going to be won, in the spirit. Rick, you're a great man of God. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for your service, folks. Check out heavenlywarriors.com. Support his ministry. Check out the radio broadcast he's doing. He's got special interviews like this one. That was pretty awesome. And we'll see you next week, Rick.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.